Episode 4029, Grow Great, the podcast. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at Grow Great Podcast. It's also the web domain, growgreat.com. Today it's about doing the work, influencing your destiny. It was Jim Rohn that said, "It is the set of the sails, not the direction of the wind, that determines which way we will go." We lost Jim some years ago. I was fortunate enough to, I took my son, I think my son was still in high school. I'm almost rather certain that he was in high school. And I got tickets to go see Jim Rohn here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He came to town with a number of other folks in that kind of a space, you know, that inspirational, motivational kind of space. The main guy that I wanted to go see and I wanted my son to see was Jeffrey Gittimer. I'd gone to see Mr. Gittimer a number of times over the course of the 30 years or so that I have followed his career. But Jim Rohn, it was good to, you know, for my son to be able to see him. Charlie Tremendous Jones. I think I've got a photograph. I took a photograph of my son with Charlie Tremendous Jones, and he was a character. He has since passed as well. I mainly wanted my son to see these people doing their work. It wasn't that I so much drank from the Kool-Aid as much as these were performers. These were guys that they were good on the platform. And public speaking has been an important part of my life, and it was something that I sensed that my son had a talent for, and he does, and getting up in front of people. And so that was really the main thing. And watching these guys do their work, it was impressive. It is the set of the sails, not the direction of the wind, that determines which way we will go. Truth is, you still need wind. I mean, you got to have fuel of some kind. Every engine, your career, your business, your organization needs to be fed. And so before we get too deep into allegories, let's narrow things down just a bit, okay? And let's try to get specific enough so that, well, hopefully I can help you. There's an internal fuel and there is external fuel, and we need both. And since I am not a sailor, we can still stick with this imagery, though, because I've read enough about it and I understand the concepts of it enough, and so I suspect you do too, to know that a sailboat will not sail itself. I mean, there have to be people who operate it, somebody who has set the sails, somebody who navigates, somebody who guides it. That's the internal power, right? The folks on board. But then there's the wind, and the wind is, well, it is external. And without the wind, you've got a whole bunch of people sitting around on a boat going nowhere. Now, in this part of the country, we call that a party barge. And the lakes around north central Texas are filled with party barges. And as fun as it may sound, you don't want your career, you don't want your business to resemble a party barge. Now, I know if you're young, you think you do. No, you don't. Trust me. You don't. What is your inner fuel? It's more than desire. It encompasses things that we don't want, things that we want to avoid, but mostly it does include the actions that energize us. You know, a lot of folks think about what they want, but sometimes we can get clarity when we just kind of, okay, well, what don't you want? What do you want to avoid? I catch myself repeatedly, and this has become a real focal point for me in my work, especially over the last year. And I suspect, I don't know, but I suspect it has to do with age. And I think about energy, and I talk about energy a lot. And so stands to reason I'm going to include that here in today's show when it comes to inner fuel, the actions that energize us. Actions over results is really tough because we romanticize results. We don't romanticize actions very much, right? We envy the big house. We envy the nice cars. We envy the scenic vacation sites. Results, results, results. It's what everybody wants. Unfortunately, no matter how badly you want more money or you want the things that more money will bring, that doesn't address actions. It doesn't address choices. I live in Dallas-Fort Worth. 11 hours or so up the highway is Nashville, Tennessee. If I'm chasing a result of being in Nashville, Tennessee, I have first got to decide what actions are going to get me there. Now, supposing that I prefer driving over flying, then I'm going to lean toward driving if time will allow it. I mean, why drive when you can fly? Well, because I might prefer to drive. Driving may be the action that I love, while flying may be the action I hate. I'll do what I hate if I have to, but left to my own devices, I'll always do what I love over what I hate. And so will you. I've long been fascinated with creative spaces, especially musicians, probably because I'm not one. And so speaking of Nashville, there are thousands of people who move annually to Nashville looking for stardom. And some just want to be a music star. You know, maybe they don't care how to get there. They just get me there. But other people go because they're in love with an action. They're in love with songwriting. They're in love with playing. They're in love with performing, or all three. I'm not saying that you can't be successful by merely focusing on the result, but it's much, much bigger grind than getting up each day loving what you do. Now, people call it passion. That's just, it's too cliche for me. And frankly, it's too shallow. I think it's too limiting. We've got to have some kind of aptitude for what we love. Remember, we're focusing on actions, work, not dreams. What do you love to do? What do you love to do that you do reasonably well? Ah, there's the rub. Now, this is about the spot where some people would urge you to answer why. Why do you love to do what you do reasonably well? And they focus on purpose. And I think purpose is important, but so is significance. Sometimes, though, we just love what we love and we hate what we hate. If I'm given the option and I am given the time required to drive to Nashville from Dallas-Fort Worth versus flying, I'm driving. And you know why? I don't know why. Because I like to drive more than I like to fly. I hate the hassles of flying. But sometimes we just like or we love what we love. Like cheese. I love cheese. Well, I don't know why. I just do. I know people who hate cheese. I really don't know why. In fact, I don't even know how that's possible. I don't know how it's possible to not like cheese, but there are people who don't like cheese. You know, some things just are. And it can be unexplainable, just like natural ability, just like aptitude, just like the things that fuel us, that energize us. So as much as I can be in love with Simon Sinek's notion of asking why, sometimes, you know, quite honestly, it's a colossal waste of time because it just is. This inner fuel can be difficult to figure out because it hinges on self-awareness. Mostly, it hinges on knowing what your superpowers are. Oh, yeah, you've got them. Now, their degree of superness might not be spectacular, but they are your strengths. It's what you're best at, and it's what gives you energy. You love it. You enjoy talking about it. You enjoy thinking about it. You enjoy planning it. You enjoy practicing it. You enjoy doing it. Now, here's where it gets cumbersome. Is it something that you can translate into a career or a business? It is something that you love to do and you do it reasonably well. Now, I'm a practical guy, and so I'm going to go ahead and answer the question. Yes. Yes, it is something that you can translate into a career or a business. Throw me a curveball if you want to. That's okay. I'll hit it. I'll hit it. I may not hit it out of the park, but I'm going to make solid contact. I've never sat down to examine what somebody gets excited about, what somebody gets energized about, and been stumped at how to help them translate that into their business or their career. I'm not saying that it can necessarily by itself be a business or a career, but it can be translated into a business or a career. More often than not, it's just not that hard. I mean, sometimes we just have to make a minor adjustment in our perspective to think about it differently. I'm a rock solid behind the scenes guy. You know, some people are that front of the camera person, while others of us are more behind the camera. I'm behind. That's where I am more comfortable. Now, that is not to say that I don't enjoy public speaking or being in front of people or being behind a microphone. My behind the camera wiring is slightly different than that, in that I love helping other people climb higher. My fuel gauge moves closer to full when I'm helping somebody figure something out that will move the needle on their business or their career. And that self-awareness helps me go all in on one of my superpowers. I don't worry about trying to be something I'm not, because I'm way too happy to shove my chips into the middle of the table to help somebody else reach the next rung on the ladder. And the real heart of it is the depth of service, though, because it's a lot less about being behind the camera and it's more about going deep with people. And for me, it's really not even a conscious thing. It's just one of those how it is kinds of things. I've known people. Well, I talked at the beginning about taking my son to this, this big event with all of these speakers. Now, my son is a guy who likes a lot of friends. Okay. His wiring socially is very different from mine. He likes a lot of people. And he's less concerned about going deep with people, but he wants a lot of people. And he likes being around a lot of people. I don't. I much prefer to have a smaller circle of people, but the people that are in the circle, I really, really want to know what's going on with them. So I want fewer people, but I want the depth of those relationships to be really deep. It's just a difference in wiring. It's not a conscious thing on his part. It's not a conscious thing on my part. It's just how we roll. It's how we prefer things. So my career has pretty much mirrored that wiring that I have, because, well, to go any other way is a drain. It's just a drain on me. Fly-by service frustrates me. Well, that's an understatement. It drives me crazy. You know, I sit down with somebody and they confess some struggle. And if I'm able, I have to help. I at least have to offer. Now, that sounds pompous, and I don't mean that the way that sounded, because there are so many situations that I'm not qualified to help. I can't help. But I'm still going to be an empathetic ear. I can't just sit there and passively listen and then get up and say, well, good luck. Hope it works out for you. I know people like that. I know people who have no problem standing up after somebody has just poured their heart out and say, well, good luck. Yeah, I hope it works out. No, I mean, I have to get involved. Years ago, during a period of reflection, well, hey, is there ever a period where there isn't reflection? Not for me. But I was in a specially focused part of my life, focusing on just my life and things. And I was especially focusing on my youth. And I realized that I did this as a kid in grade school, this getting involved. I've always been a person who got involved. You know, if friends got into a tussle, I'd step in to make peace. If a classmate was crossing that line that might get them into trouble with a teacher, I'd encourage them to stop before they got into trouble. If you look closely enough, you'll see things in your own life and probably in your childhood that indicate where you get an energy boost. And it's likely that where you got an energy boost then, you're still getting an energy boost now. It may look a little different because now you're not a kid. Is it the work or is it the results? The word destiny usually denotes results, right? I mean, I say destiny and you think about the outcome. You think about the destination. Now, of course, without the work, there are no results. And as for ownership, well, you know, it's easy to own the results if they're positive. It's less so if they're not. All right, if I win, I'm going to own it, right? Give me that trophy. Let me lift it up. If I'm the loser, I don't know. I don't. There's got to be some other reason why it's your fault. You know, you were on my team. If you hadn't been on my team, we would have won. Well, what about all the days? What about all the hours? What about all the minutes that we spend doing the work? That's the real focus. That's the real focus of this episode, today's show, the work. The things you do every single day. The stuff that consumes your time, the stuff that consumes your energy, the stuff that consumes your mind space. The painter paints. The writer writes. The singer sings. The painting, the writing, the song, they all matter. But every single day, the art is found in the work, not the object created. Destiny. Destiny is influenced not by what we dream about, but by what we do. It's in the actual work. What do you love to do? What actions, what thoughts give you energy? That's where you should focus your attention. Too many business owners, too many executives devote themselves, or they devote too much time to areas that are too far from their strengths. And sometimes they think it's required. They think that, well, if they don't, then their teams may see them as weaker. Sometimes they lack a self-awareness to know their true strengths and how to best leverage those. And sometimes it's just completely different. We've all got the stuff that gets in our way. And sometimes that stuff's in our head. Sometimes it's external. Sometimes it's internal. Stop being something that you're not. Stop trying to be somebody that you don't want to be. I find two fundamental things that prompt people to devote too much time and too much effort to be somebody other than who they most should be or who they most want to be. Two things. Just two. And I got news for you. They impact all of us. None of us are immune from these. I would that there were some kind of a shot that I could, you know, we could be inoculated with something that would prevent these from entering our life, but I don't know of anything. If you do, let me know. Here they are. Number one, we listen too much to other people who don't have our best interest at heart. Or it could better be said, maybe more simply said, sometimes we just listen too much to other people. Number two, we compare ourselves with other people. And quite often it's both simultaneously. When you think about the actual work you do, ask yourself what impact these two things have on your work. Who are you listening to? What are they telling you? Why are you listening to them? Think about things from their perspective. What considerations are important to them? It doesn't make them wrong and it doesn't make them bad. You just need to understand it. Because we've all got wants. We've all got desires. We've all got a perspective. And we approach situations with a viewpoint that, well, it most often, it strongly considers what is ideal for us or what we think is ideal for us. That doesn't make us selfish. It makes us human. But even so, it's possible for a person to fail to consider the outcome for other people because we're so focused on ourselves. It's also possible for a person to strongly consider the outcome for other people. I mean, come on. You and I both know there are no truly objective perspectives. We've all got a viewpoint that enters our judgment. Now, maybe the best we can hope for is to accurately identify that viewpoint. Now, let me confess my own. I'll confess my own viewpoint and my own bias. As a servant to top leaders and top business owners, I want my service to be highly valuable. Okay, well, that's not so unique. I want my clients to not only sense value in my work, but I want it to make a meaningful improvement in their career and their work. Well, okay. A lot of folks say that. Well, while I'd like my work with these people, I'd like it to go for some prolonged period of time. That's fueled by the earlier confession I make. I want relationships to go deep. I want to find out as much as I can. I'm willing for people to share as much as they're willing to share, and I'm willing to share on my own. But I'm not working to make people dependent on me. Well, that's a little different. I'm working to make people better, and I'm hoping that an ongoing improvement will prolong my opportunity. But it's very individual, because for some people, the objective might be to just navigate through some present distress. And when that distress is past, my work's done. And I can look kind of like a proud parent and see the grown-up child ready to go make their own mark on the world, and I can be proud of that, and it's all good. It's not hard to walk away knowing that I've served this person well through whatever this distress may have been. I am a mature, seasoned business guy, and that plays a major role. All my work, and when I say all my work, I mean all my work. 100% of my work is currently legacy work. Yes, yes, yes. I'm a capitalist to the core, and I want to earn money, and I want to be paid what I'm worth. And I think I'm worth a lot. But I want to provide for my family a comfortable lifestyle. But that's not the driver. Mm-mm. The driver is to pass on what I've learned. The driver is to help. The driver is to serve, to teach, to train, to provoke. I'm never shy about my end game. It's neither right nor is it wrong. It just is, kind of like my love of cheese. But I'm honest and I'm candid about what it is. I do not have a client, nor have I ever had a client, that has to wonder, where's he coming from? No, I'm real upfront about my bias and my viewpoint. Most clients appreciate it. In fact, I would say over 99% appreciate. On very rare occasions, some don't. That's okay. It's okay. I don't make any apologies for it, and I maintain complete candor. The rest is up to the client. Problems enter when people behave or act as though they don't have an agenda. Listen, we all have an agenda. I have just confessed my agenda. When a CEO has board members who encourage some decision, saying that they just have the company's best interest at heart, well, maybe they do, maybe they don't. The CEO has to figure that out. Now, you're not shocked to know that not every board member has the best interest of the company in mind 100% of the time. And sometimes CEOs can be pressured, or they can be swayed into actions or work by well-intended board members who have an agenda that may not be congruent with the agenda of the CEO. That doesn't mean the relationship has to be adversarial. It just means the CEO better have a good understanding of what's really going on, or he may find himself doing work that is not in his best interest or the best interest of the company. He may end up trying to be something he's not. Come on, the corporate landfill is heaped high with CEOs who surrendered their strongest skill set and love with the things that other people thought was best. Well, the second one, comparing ourselves with others, is a hazard that we're all prone to step into. And sometimes it's just this kind of this little puddle. Other times it's just, you know, it's a heaping pile of quicksand and we just can't seem to find our way out of it. This is your life. Yeah, it's your life. It's not anybody else's life. When I was growing up, there was a popular TV show on called This Is Your Life. I'm going to put a link to this because you've probably never seen this unless you're older. Just go to the website, growgreat.com, and look for episode 4029. It is why I put episode numbers. In fact, right below the cover art over on the right-hand side of the website, you'll see type the episode number here. That's what that's for. Type in the number 4029 and bam, it will take you right there. Well, this TV show was entitled This Is Your Life. And I don't know, it went off the air a long, long time ago. But This Is Your Life. And it was hosted by Ralph Edwards, and somebody famous would be fooled into coming on the set. And they were thinking that they were going to a party or something. And the show would chronicle that person's life. I mean, going back to childhood. And a number of important people from this person's past, they would come onto the show and surprise the guest. It was a live TV version of a biography of a living person with that person sitting right there on the sofa on the set. And it indeed was their life. It was pretty fascinating. Your life may not be the subject of a live TV show, but it may as well be. And what if you thought about it? What if you thought of your life that way? What if starting right now, right this very moment, you considered your life as being on that old TV show live, broadcast to the whole world? Because it is. That doesn't mean everybody's watching. I've watched a lot of episodes of that show, and never was the focus on the guest's life compared to somebody else's life. I mean, what a boring show that would be. No, it was always about their life, warts and all. And frankly, the warts were some of the most fascinating parts of the story. It was the story of their life, about what went right, what went wrong, up to this point in their life, obviously, what they had learned, who was important, and what role did those people play, and what had the guest accomplished. It was their story, uniquely their own. So I watched it. Because their story was different from other people's story. Stop trying to copy other people. Won't work anyway. Well, it will work to frustrate you. It will work sometimes to make you feel inferior. It will work to fuel your discontentment. I know CEOs and business owners who don't crack six figures in annual income. And I know others who make millions every year in personal income. What difference does it make? I mean, should the $90,000 a year CEO pay closer attention to the $40 million a year CEO? And if they should, why? I mean, what is there to be gained other than jealousy or envy? That brings me back to the work. Are there things that Jeff Bezos is doing at Amazon that fascinate me? Well, yeah. Absolutely. I pay attention to his work. I pay attention to his genius. I'm not him, and I'm not going to waste a second trying to be him. But his work is interesting. His personal fortune doesn't have it has zero impact on my life. Here's a newsflash. It doesn't have any impact on your life either. My life, my family's life, your family's life is not influenced by the personal wealth of Jeff Bezos. But I know CEOs and business owners who grow fixated on the new house or the new car of a rival or an acquaintance or somebody else that they know or somebody that they know of. I saw the other day an article on Matt Lauer's new place in the Hamptons. Have you seen this? It's, you know, it's just this paltry little $33 million estate. That news didn't impact my life. My family was not influenced one whit by that news. And my life is not influenced and my family's life is not impacted by the fact that Mr. Lauer earns $20 million a year. Or the rumors that he may not be renewed when his present contract expires because he's making $20 million a year. You know, that's his life. And it's important to him. It's important to his family. And his public celebrity aside, I don't much care. And since I don't even watch his morning TV show, it really doesn't have anything to do with me. But there are other people who do have an influence on me. And some of them I know, some of them I don't know. I catch myself falling into the trap of comparing myself with them. And they're not so unlike Matt Lauer to me. They don't have an impact on my life except I let them. You know, people can hold themselves up as a bastion of success, and I can fall into the trap of looking more closely than I should at who they are, what they're doing. And yes, I can briefly, and I say briefly because I try to snap out of it as quickly as I see it and I see what I'm doing. Now, I'm not always good at that, I'll admit. But I can succumb to changing my actions. No, it never works out well for me. It's always a setback, and I always have to work twice as hard to regain the ground that I lost with the distraction. You'd think I'd learn to stop doing it altogether, but I confess to you, I am not that strong. Sometimes the siren call of somebody else's success catches my attention, and like the rubberneckers that peer at the traffic accident, I just have to look, and then I have to keep looking until I realize what a stupid mistake I'm making. I'm not going anywhere. I'm paying too much attention over here, and I need to get my eyes back on the road. You can't completely avoid these two pitfalls, but you can manage them. Be aware. Find out what's really going on and ask yourself, what really matters here? It boils down to your work. Your work, like the old TV show, this is your life. The stuff you fill your days with is going to determine the outcome. What you do, what choices you make, who you let into your life, all these things matter. It doesn't matter how big your house is. Matt Lauer's place in the Hamptons once belonged to Richard Gere. Well, Richard's moved on. And you know what? One day Matt will too. Their lives aren't where they live. Yours isn't either. You have to live with yourself. You have to live with your own choices. So own it. Do the work. Do the work you most want to do. Say no to the things that rob you of your energy to be your best. Avoid the distractions that other people throw in your path. Intentionally or not, well-intended or not, you may be able to control. Well, no. It's what the world tells us. And I've used the phrase way too much in my own life. Control your own destiny or somebody else will. It's a Jack Welch quote, and I love it. But you know what? The older I've lived, the more I've learned you may not be able to control your destiny. But by becoming more devoted to the work that matters most to you, and by doing it the way you most want to do it and the way you need to do it, it could be your best bet to influence your destiny. And there you go. You've just given me about 34 minutes of your life, and you've listened to episode 4029 of Grow Great, the podcast. My name is Randy Cantrell. Go to the website. You can find out all about me and what I do. Click on that tab over there, who I serve and how. I serve CEOs. I serve business owners. I serve executives. I do a lot of it in person, but I do some of it virtual. I might be able to help you. You never know. I'm a phone call away. I hope you'll subscribe to the podcast and tell a friend. Happy summer. Man, is it hot here in Dallas-Fort Worth. Here we are in the early stages of July, and the triple-digit heat has arrived. And friends, it is not comfortable unless you're inside or floating in a pool. Occasionally, I do both. Well, mostly I do the former. I'm staying in the AC. Hope all is well with you. Do the work. Influence your own destiny. The work I want you to do is subscribe to the podcast and tell a friend. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio.